This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series called Healing Spiritual Forces. Amen? And I'm telling you, I believe it's a good series if you want to be set free. How many people want to be set free, glory to God, or walk in a greater level of freedom? And I think that we all can walk in levels of freedom in our walk in Christ. And I want to get totally free in Christ. Amen. So we're talking about spiritual forces that God has given to every believer that we can partake of. And the first week we talked about the spiritual force of faith. Amen. And faith is a powerful spiritual force that can open the door of God's grace in our lives. Amen. And every believer is given faith, glory to God. In Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Amen? I love this. So this scripture is talking about Paul. He's saying, first of all, not to think too highly of yourselves. Amen? And so I'm going to say this. Humility plays a big part in our faith. I'm going to say again. Being humble plays a good, big part in our faith. I like what it says in Psalms 25:9. It says, "The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." So we don't want to get, you know, we want to be confident, but we don't want to get cocky. Amen. We want to be confident in the word, but we don't want to be cocky in ourselves. Amen. And so we know that humility plays a big part in our faith. And if I like what it says in 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So exaltation comes from God. Doesn't come from your power, your ability, or what you can do, but it comes from God. Amen? And God wants to exalt us. Do you believe that? Raise us up to be greater in our generation. And we have a measure of faith, and this measure of faith can set us free from any bondage or anything that the devil will try to put on us. So we have that measure of faith, glory to God. All we need is a mustard seed of faith to move mountains. Amen. That's all you need. Amen? In Matthew 17:20, Jesus replied to his disciples because they were asking Jesus why they couldn't cast out a spirit out of a demon-possessed boy. Of course, Jesus did. And they were asking, and he said, because of so little faith that they were walking in. But understand this, that they were under the old covenant while Jesus was preaching, and he hadn't went to the heaven yet. And so they didn't have the measure of faith that we have today. I'm going to say again, those disciples, in other words, you have greater faith because your faith has been imparted by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they may have failed in their faith, but you cannot fail in your faith. Amen. And so he replied, he said, "Because of the little of your faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as a small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you." In other words, there's no impossibilities in God. Amen. You got to believe that. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. It doesn't matter what science says. God's word goes beyond science. Amen. Do you believe that today? Somebody say this, "I have mountain moving faith." Amen. So humility and faith are two keys in seeing breakthrough in our lives. Here's another scripture that combines humility and faith together. And I like this. This is one of my favorites. It says here in Isaiah 1:19, "If you're willing and obedient." So willingness has to do with humility. Amen. And obedient has to do with action to our faith. "And you shall eat" what? "The good of the land." Amen. So a willing heart Amen. So you have to have a willing heart in serving God. And I'm looking at people with willing hearts today. Amen. And I love that. And I like what it says in the Message, which it says it a little differently. He says, if you're willing and obey, you'll feast like kings. I like that. You'll feast like kings. So being willing, having some humility, willingness has a good heart attitude towards the things of God. Amen. And the enemy's trying to work against us, in circumstances and situations to try to get us to have a bad attitude. And we're not going to have a bad attitude. We're going to continue to praise God and give thanks, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. The second spiritual force we talked about was love. Love is the greatest motivational force in the universe. Amen. And we all need to learn to walk in God's love. Even though you have God's love in you, you got to express it through you. Amen. So we must learn to love God and love people. I ministered a message last week focusing on God's love is giving and forgiving. So if we walk in these attributes of giving and forgiving, we'll be walking in the freedom that God intended us to walk in. And by one of my main messages or scriptures that I focused on last week pertaining to love was John 3:16. How many people have John 3:16 memorized? Glory to God, you should. Amen. If you're a Christian. And it says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This scripture should never get old to you. This scripture is exciting because it says that God gave and God forgives.
Amen.
Amen. And so today I want to talk to you about another spiritual force that's paramount for us walking in healing and deliverance of any kind. Amen. And this spiritual force is peace. How many people could stand to walk in a little bit more peace? Because the devil's trying to get us upset, angry, trying to get us depressed, amen, focused on the wrong things, but we're going to focus on the right things, amen? Yeah. Glory to God. So the world lives in sadness, worry, fear, of many problems. But as the Christian, we don't have to allow the world to steal our peace, amen? And the force of peace that God gives us is greater than the turmoil that's in this world. Do you believe that today? God's peace is a gift that we as Christians can walk in every day of our lives. To keep the peace of God, we must believe that God is with us and he can help us with anything that we're dealing with. Amen? Somebody say this today, God is helping me today. Amen? He helped you to get to church today. Sometimes we have fears and worries that we're not going to make it. Have you ever had fears and worries? You're not going to make it. Amen. And so I'm going to say this. You're going to make it because God's with you, even though it doesn't look like. One of my favorite scriptures in overcoming fear is Philippians 4:13. And this one you should also have memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you feel like you're not up to the task, when you feel like that life is too big, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen.
You can even take care of a new baby. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can do it. Amen. That keep you up at night. Amen. Hallelujah. You lose sleep. Hallelujah. You can do all things.
Amen.
You just got to repeat that, glory to God. Amen. I like the Amplified version of it. And this is powerful. I like this. It says here in the Amplified, it says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace.
Amen.
Is that powerful? Yes. That means that no task is too big when you're walking in Christ. Amen. You hear what I'm saying to you today? We can get excited because he infuses us with inner strength and confident peace.
Amen.
I love that today. Sometimes fear and worry will try to dominate us. And knowing that God is with us, it will help us to overcome and walk in boldness that he desires us to walk in. Amen? I have a great scripture here that I go to and I've went to in the past. It has helped me when I was dealing with fears in my life. In Isaiah 41:9-10, it says this way, "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest regions, I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love that. And he says here, "You are my servant." So we know this is Old Testament. So we can take it to the next level. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we are on a higher level than the old covenant people that love the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So I love that. So I'm going to give you some keys this morning to help you walk in peace. God's peace is always focused on, number one key, it's always focused on where we are going, not where we are at. Because the enemy will try to get you focused on where you're at in your life. And get you focused on what maybe you're going to be at that point all your life. No, you're going to the next level. And where you're at today doesn't mean you're going to be there tomorrow. And so things are changing. Peace always looks ahead and never looks back. God's peace focuses on the end, not the beginning. In Philippians 1:6, it says this way, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
So he began a good work in you, and he's going to complete that work in you as long as you stay faithful in serving him, glory to God.
Amen.
Stay in him, amen? Paul focused on the beginning, but the end of the day in Christ, amen? Paul focused on not on the beginning, but at the end. And the end is, our end is going to be greater than our beginning. Again, as we're going to walk in peace, we must focus on the future and not our present situation. Jesus was dealing with his disciples, and they were dealing with stress because Jesus kept telling them that he was leaving them. And you know, when Jesus is walking with you for 3 years and plus months, and, you know, you get used to Jesus with you, amen? And I love that, but he was there in the flesh, but he says to them, don't focus on the fact that I'm going to leave. Focus on the future blessings of what I'm going to bring into your life. That's what we need to be focused on, the future blessings. He said in John 14:1-3, "Let not your heart be troubled." So you don't have to have a troubled heart. He said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you also may be also." Amen? So Jesus was saying, listen, focus on the fact that there's going to be a greater day ahead. Focus on the fact that I am preparing a place for you. Focus on the fact that not only that I may be leaving right now, but I'm coming back.
Amen.
We need to be focused on the fact that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back sooner than we think. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus has given everybody not only a measure of faith, but a measure of peace. You have peace. You can walk in peace. Glory to God. I like what it says in John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Glory to God. So we have power. You have power on not allowing your heart to be troubled. Glory to God. That's why you might need to confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the enemy's trying to make you think you're not going to make it, when the enemy's trying to make you think you're going to fall short of what God has called you to do, no, God is with you and He's helping you. Glory to God. And that's awesome. So His peace can help us through troubled times. Amen? Here's another scripture to promote peace. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. And this is another one that I like to go to. It's my go-to when the enemy's working against me in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Have you ever dealt with fear, doubt, and unbelief in your life? Amen. It comes at us at different times, doesn't it? It comes through circumstances and through what people are doing and saying, glory to God. But I like to go to this scripture because it's a powerful scripture that I believe that you should confess if you're dealing with any fear or stress or worry in your life. It says it this way in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. And I think they even made a song out of that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You might want to sing that every once in a while. Glory to God. So this is a good way to keep the force of peace working in your life. And it will promote health because we know stress is a door opener for disease in our lives. Do you believe that today? And we need to get the stress out. Glory to God. And we need to keep the peace flowing, glory to God. Another key, number two key to keeping the peace flowing in your life is you need to learn to stir up the gift of God in your life. You need to be filled with the Spirit. And 2 Timothy 1:6, is there, Timothy is reminding, Paul is reminding Timothy. Timothy was dealing with a little stress in his life. He was a young pastor. He was dealing with fear because that scripture that I just quoted to you, Paul quoted that to Timothy. And then he says to Timothy, therefore, I want to remind you, stir up the gift of God, 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So how do we stir up the gift of God, you may ask? Well, in Ephesians 5:18 and 20, it tells us, it says here, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves or one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying here that if we're going to have some peace flowing in our lives, we must put some worship music on. We must start worshiping the Lord. How many people put on worship music during the days, during your days? Glory to God. Amen. We have an Alexa, it sits on our counter in the kitchen. And I ask Alexa to play worship music. And Alexa starts playing worship music for me. And what happens, it gets in right atmosphere. See, you got to create an atmosphere for peace to work in your life. You got to have an atmosphere. That's the reason why we worship on every service. We do worship. Why? Because we want to create an atmosphere of peace and joy in our lives. Amen? And so when you're creating that atmosphere of worship, and you're worshiping the Lord, what's happening is you're focused on Jesus. Amen. And if you're focused on Jesus, you cannot be focused on the problem.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to focus on Jesus. Amen. It says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So this scripture is saying that God will keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on Him and because we trust God.
Amen.
That moves me into the third point. If you're going to walk in the peace of God, you must trust God no matter what. Amen. There's at times in my life where things weren't going the way I thought they should, and I would say out loud, Lord, I trust You. Lord, I trust You. I trust You in this circumstance. I trust You in this situation. I would say it out loud. Lord, I trust You. Somebody say that. Lord, I trust You. You have to learn to trust God. The devil will try to get us focused on things that we cannot control. You cannot control people. Amen. You can pray for them. You can ask God to help them. Glory to God. But you can't make people do right. Amen. You can't make your kids do right. I know we've tried at times. Amen. We can't make our kids. So I'm going to say this. Don't trust in natural things that life can tend to help. Put your trust in God. Medication's good, but don't put your trust in medication. Put your trust in God. Money can help ease the pain, but money can't solve every problem. Amen. Amen. And so you don't want to put your trust in money. You want to put your trust in God. Money can help you buy some things, amen. Might make you comfortable in your sadness, but it eventually won't help. God will help, amen. People can help, but you must put your trust in God. Some of my favorite trust scriptures are what I'm going to give you today. In Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots." Now this is Old Testament. "And some in their horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God."
Amen.
So we're not going to trust in what we have to protect us. You might own a gun, amen, and nothing wrong with that. I believe in that. But put your faith and trust in God and His Word.
Amen.
He can divinely protect you, glory to God. Psalms 91. Now, I'm not against owning a gun, but don't put your faith in that. Put your faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is saying, you know, chariots and horses, and these are fighting machines. But don't put your trust in fighting machines. Put your trust in God. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with some of your heart." With all of your heart. "And lean not on your own understanding." See, what gets us in trouble is we're thinking too much about the problem.
Yeah.
We're focused way too much on the problem. And we're thinking about it. We're Googling it. We're trying to dissect it. We're running it over in our mind over and over and over again. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
We fixate on it, the problem. Have you ever been there? It says here, don't lean on your own understanding. Amen. Don't lean on gray matter. Lean on what matters, and that's God. Amen. And all your ways. Notice it says, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." God will guide you. He will lead you into all truth if we trust in Him with all of our hearts. Glory to God. And if we don't fixate on the problem, don't keep focusing on that. In other words, give God the problem and pick up a promise to stand on.
Amen.
And start focusing and fixating your mind on the promise and not the problems that the devil tries to put in your life. Amen? And in Psalms 118, it says here, because sometimes we put our faith and trust in man. Amen? You can't put your faith, all your faith and trust in man, because man will fail. People will always fail you, but God will never fail you. You believe that today? God will never fail. And it says in Psalms 118, 8 and 9, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princesses." And princes. Princesses. Princess. Amen. Let me get that right. And so in other words, there might be people in your life that might bless you at times. You might have people that bless you, your parents, different people, but it, they are, you know, they're not your source. God's your source. They're a channel that God uses. So don't put your faith in people. Put your faith in God. God's the source, and He moves on people to bless us. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so we got to make sure that we're putting our faith and trust in God and not people, glory to God. Amen. And then number four, if we're going to walk in trust, glory to God, we must cast our cares on the Lord. We must learn to cast our cares. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 9, it says, therefore, humble yourself. Now, there we go. There's humility again, working in faith. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Amen. So he's saying to us that the devil's out here, and he's trying to put fear, doubt, and unbelief on some of us. And he's saying, be sober, be vigilant. Understand the devil, what the devil's trying to do. And he's saying here that we must resist. You have to resist fear. You have to resist worry. Sometimes you might say, worry, I resist you in Jesus' name. You might need to say, fear, I resist you in Jesus' name. And you need to start speaking to those things that are trying to hinder you from walking in true faith in God. Amen? So it's okay to say, fear, I resist you. Worry, I resist you in Jesus' name. And then stand fast in your faith, knowing that other people are going through problems too. Because a lot of times the devil will try to make you think you're the only one in the problem. You're the only one that has problems, and everybody else is flying through life on flowery beds of ease. Amen? But no, everybody deals with problems sometime in their life. Do you believe that today? And we're not exempt from problems. I wish we were. As Christians, I wish once I got saved, I'd never have another problem again. And that's not reality. There's going to be faith challenges. There's going to be times where our faith is going to be tested. There's going to be times where we're going to have to stand up, keep standing until we see the salvation of our Lord. The Bible says, once you've done all, stand and keep standing. Amen. And so in 1 Peter 5, 7, the Amplified says it this way. It says here, cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. So if God can take care of the birds in the sky, He can take care of you. Amen. If His eye is on the sparrow, then His eye is on you. Do you believe that today? And in Philippians 4, 6, it says, be anxious, 4, 6, and 8, be anxious for nothing. In other words, have no anxiety about anything. That's easier said than done, Pastor. That's easier said than done. Do you know what I'm dealing with, Pastor? Do you know the issues that I'm dealing with? But he's saying here, be anxious for nothing. This is the Apostle Paul that was writing this, and Apostle Paul had a lot of problems in his ministry. Amen. He goes through a lot of issues. He went through jail. He ended up at the end with his head getting cut off. So, you know, Paul went through it. Amen. But and then Paul's saying here, be anxious for nothing. I think about Peter. And Peter was in jail, and I think James got killed by a sword, one of the other apostles. And so the king was going to kill Peter, have him executed the next day. And God sent an angel to help Peter escape from that jail. And the angel came in, and Peter was sound asleep. He was so asleep, knowing that he could be, executed the following day. Now, if you were going to be executed the following day, would you be sleeping? You would be praying. You would be worshiping the Lord, saying, God, get me out of here. Hallelujah. You'd probably be in a fast, glory to God. And he was sound asleep. Has anybody ever lost any sleep out here? Amen. Has the enemy tried to get you to steal some sleep from you? Glory to God. And so he said here. So Peter, the scriptures said that the angel had to smote Peter, had to actually wake him up and said, "Get up, put your sandals on." And the angel actually escorted him out of that prison that day. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say this. Even if you're waiting an execution, hopefully you won't be. Amen. God can send an angel to save your life. Amen. Now, we know the church was praying. And the church was praying. And when Peter got to that door, of that house, he knocked on the door and a little girl answered it. And he said, Peter, and they were amazed that God answered their prayer. They cannot be Peter, it must be his spirit. Amen. But I'm going to say this, pray believing that God can do the impossible. Even though things might not look like they're changing, God is working on your problems. You got to believe that today. Even though things are slow, and things can look slow and like, God, are you even hearing my prayers? How come things don't seem like they're working? In Joseph's life, it took 13 years before he became prime minister of Egypt. And in 13 years, Joseph went through the ringer. But you know what? Payday came. And I'm going to say this to you today. Payday is coming. God's grace is coming into your life to help you regardless of what it looks like. You got to keep standing and believing. He says here, be anxious for nothing. So Peter was fast asleep. He wasn't worried about the execution. Why? Because he spoke to Jesus earlier. And Jesus said, you're going to die an old man. And he believed Jesus' words. And he knew that God, somehow, some way, God was going to get him out. He was going to die a young man. Because Jesus already gave him the word, amen, and revealed to him that he was going to live a long life. And it says here, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I love that. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So prayer and supplication and thanksgiving will cause the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I like that kind of peace. Amen. I want some peace that surpasses understanding. Amen? And I'm telling you, this peace you can get, you don't have to go to drugs, alcohol, or any kind of vice for this peace. Jesus can give you this kind of peace. Amen. Do you believe that today? And he says here, we'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Finally, brethren, now he says, now what we need to think on, because our thinking is getting us in trouble pertaining to us losing our peace. Do you believe that today? And he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, notice that, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Has God ever gotten you out of a problem? And if he's ever gotten you out of a problem once, he will do it again. And so you got to think about these things. God got me out of this issue before. God will get me out of the issue that I might be dealing with today. So you need to focus on the fact that God can set you free. Amen. The fifth key in walking in the peace of God is you must obey your conscience. Live right before God and people. This will promote peace. Amen. Paul was giving his defense to a testimony to Felix, the governor. Paul was in prison at that time. He may have spent more time in prison than out of prison. Amen. And Paul was given his hope of the resurrection to the governor Felix while he was in prison. And he says in Acts 24:15, he says, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So Paul believed in the resurrection power of God. Amen? You must believe in that. And he said there will be a resurrection of the both the just and the unjust. Then he says, "This being so, I myself also strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and man." I love that. So Paul was a transparent person, and Paul endeavored to make sure that he had no offense towards God and man, that he kept his conscience clear. And I'm telling you, if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you got to keep your conscience clear in Jesus' name. I like what Paul was saying to Timothy. He says now in 1 Peter 1:5, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience," underline that, "from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith." So when we walk in the Lord in these attributes, it will promote peace in our lives. What kind of attributes? A pure heart. You got to have a pure heart if you're going to have peace in your life. If you're going to have peace in your life, must you have a good conscience? Because when you do wrong, your conscience will bother you. Amen. When you sin against the Lord and other people, your conscience will bother you, and that will not promote peace in your life. Amen. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we're living and we're not going against our conscience, because that's a safe guide for God to lead us into all truth. Amen? Amen. And the Bible does say that you can sear your conscience. And you don't want to, that means that you keep doing the wrong things and you don't repent and you keep doing, and then God, then you can't hear the voice of God in your life anymore. Amen. So we want to be quick to hear, quick to believe, and quick to repent. Amen? And then number three, if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we must have sincere faith. The Bible says unfeigned faith. In other words, that our faith that we believe God is not hypocritical faith. It's faith in trusting God, believing that God is who He says He is, and God will help us no matter what. Now let me just summarize on these keys before I close out. If we're going to walk in the peace of God, we must focus on where we are going and not where we are at. If we're going to walk in the peace of God, we must continue to stir up the gift of God through praise and worship, through speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. If we're going to walk in peace, we must keep trusting God no matter what. Somebody say, "I trust God." If we're going to walk in peace, we must learn to cast our cares on the Lord. And if we're going to walk in peace, we must obey our conscience. We must, in other words, we must keep doing good. Amen. Amen? We must do what's right in the sight of God and man. And when you do what's right in the sight of God and man, it will promote the peace of God in your lives. Did you receive it this morning? I believe you did. I believe that I got a church walking in faith, love, and peace. And I'm telling you, you are not under any bondage, but you're under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you're helping us to walk in your peace. And Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Perhaps you're here in the audience or watching online, and you never invited Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to be your Lord and Savior. Well, today is the day of salvation. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer that can bring the peace of God, the peace of Jesus in your life. Just say this and say this out loud and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you pray that for the first time, we believe God born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. Not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ. And thank you for tuning in.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.